Hey everybody, Mark Ashton coming to you here from the University of Nebraska at Omaha. I am the lead pastor at Christ Community Church, and we're going through something called Project 4-4. It's reading through the Bible in a year in chronological order. And as I've oftentimes done, I want to give credit where credit is due. John Soper is a friend of mine, a fellow pastor, a person in the Christian Missionary Alliance who's done a great job laying the foundation for these videos that you're seeing, audios that you're listening to, or manuscripts that you're reading, and he deserves to get the credit. We've taken his materials and adapted them for Project 4-4, so once again, thanks to John Soper for the good work that you've done on this. Well, today is August 21st, and you've read today Ezekiel chapter 24. And from chapter 12 all the way on up to what we're experiencing now in chapter 24, the focus has been upon oracles of Ezekiel, relating to the punishment of Israel that's about to come. Now, some of Ezekiel's hearers had taken the viewpoint that the initial fall of Jerusalem and the exile of the people of Jerusalem, which they've already been a part of the first exile, but not the second and third exiles, the viewpoint that they've taken is that the worst has already come, and that God is already pleased with what they're doing, or God has already done the punishment that he's going to do, and nothing else is coming. Others, sitting there by the waters of Babylon, felt that the fact that they were there was proof positive that the God of Israel has lost and that the God of Babylon has won. So, in their minds, God had lost face in this whole exercise of the face-off between the gods. Well, what we find from Ezekiel is a different message than either of these two viewpoints. The message is this. Number one, God's anger is not yet spent. It's begun to be poured out, but there is more punishment that's coming. Point number two is that the day is fast approaching when the gods of Babylon would be seen for what they really were. Nothing. And that soon enough, everyone would know that the Lord is really Lord of all. Then they'll know that I'm the Lord. This is a phrase you hear repeated over and over again in the book of Ezekiel. Right up to the very end, even after the first set of exiles had trudged off through the harsh desert sun to Babylon, God would have relented and dealt with Israel in grace. If only the people would have repented. But just like their fathers before them, the people did not repent. They refused to. So the judgment they already experienced, just like the judgment that they were about to experience, had been earned by them just as surely as the judgment had been earned by their fathers. Well, of the reading that you did today, probably the thing that gets the most attention, or at least draws my attention the most, is the death of Ezekiel's wife and the way that Ezekiel was told to respond to that death. I mean, could you imagine how hard it would be for Ezekiel to first hear what God was going to do and then live through that horrible day and then go on with life without even having the privilege of having the release of his sorrow that comes through the act of grieving? And finally, to continue on afterwards and still serve God without being bitter at God for the cruelty that he had inflicted upon his suffering servant. Well, God had already required some pretty public obedience from Ezekiel. The Son of Man, as Ezekiel was known, had already publicly humiliated himself. Remember the 15 months that he spent lying on one side and eating food that was cooked over dung? Yuck! And then there's the head-shaving piece. And now God says, Ezekiel, I'm going to take your wife. And you're not allowed to grieve. No wailing, no ashes on the head. Keep your sandals on. Don't eat the food that's associated with funerals. And once more, Ezekiel, like Hosea and Jeremiah and Abraham before him, he's acting out a parable. His wife is, quote, the desire of his eyes. That tells you how much he's loved by her, she is loved by him. Just as the temple, which is about to be destroyed, is the desire of Israel's eyes, and Judah, which is about to be destroyed, is the desire of God's eyes. But why no allowance for the grief? That's the big question. Two suggestions have been offered at this point. The first is this, that Ezekiel's not allowed to grieve because Israel has refused to grieve and mourn for her sins. And so the illustration is that Ezekiel is a lot like, he's weird, a lot like Israel is weird for not repenting from their sins. Because the people refused to mourn when repentance was required, God will not allow them to mourn when judgment falls. The second is this suggestion, that God was not allowing Ezekiel or the Israelites to mourn because the loss of Jerusalem and the temple was such a profound loss that it went beyond the bounds of human grief. It was too big of a loss to grieve like men and women normally would. Now, I'm not certain that all of you remember that from the time of Ezekiel's call onward, all the way back to the beginning of this book, he has been bound to a ritual silence. That is, that the only time he speaks is when he's saying the things that come from God, prefaced by these words, "Thus saith the Lord." Apart from that, he's lived, with regard to his fellow Israelites, in silence, probably because no one was ready to listen to anything that he might have to say. But, God says, when the messenger arrives to tell you that Jerusalem has finally fallen, then you can speak again, and they'll be ready to listen to you. Then you'll no longer need to utter these prophecies of doom. Then you can start being a shepherd and a watchman to the people of Israel. But for the time being, Ezekiel can only do what is the truth, and he can only point them toward the destruction that is to come. The benefit of this is that there's a young generation that has been born in Babylon. It's being raised in Babylon, that hasn't experienced prophets and prophecies before, that will have no paradigm for Israel or the temple or the land that they came from. Well, the way that they'll hear from God is through Ezekiel. The way that they'll know that Ezekiel is telling the truth is that he tells them about the fall of Jerusalem over and over and over again, and he's the only one that's going to be right in the end. Hopefully this next generation will listen to Ezekiel, because God will call them to go back and rebuild that great nation. And that's something that they have to look forward to. Well, this is Mark Ashton explaining to you a little bit more about Ezekiel chapter 24. And I pray that as you read God's word, he'll enlighten your mind and make you more like Jesus. God bless you.